Isaiah chapter number 49. We'll read verses 20 through verse number 23 responsively. I'll read verse number 20 and then you'll join me on verse 21. Isaiah chapter number 49 this morning. Isaiah chapter 49 verses 20 through 23. I'll begin in verse number 20. Bible says in Isaiah 49:20, "The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These were where I had been. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nourishing fathers, and their queens and thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know what I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me."
Keep your Bibles open to Isaiah 49. We're going to use it some this morning. If I may have your attention for a moment first, let me lay a little bit of foundation, and I don't apologize for being an independent, old-fashioned, King James only, hellfire damnation preacher. I'm tired of the pussyfooters, the ear ticklers, the back scratchers, and the woke wimpies of today. I don't wiggle when I walk, and I don't have lace on my underwear, and there ain't no doubt about it. I know which bathroom to use, and I know that two bulls don't make a cow. You say, "Preacher, I don't think you ought to say those things." Well, then don't you say it, but I'm going to. I believe America is in the condition she's in because churches have quit preaching the Word of God and gone to preaching philosophy. We've gone to preaching psychology and philosophy, not the Word of God. And today I want to preach to you the Word of God as God said it. A standard is a military term. A standard was usually a flag or a banner that armies or squads or regiments or units would use. They were used for the soldiers for positioning in a battlefield. You would see different units or squads that would have a flag and they knew what theirs was. And the standard bearer, the flag bearer, would be holding it, and the men in that unit would be around that, and they would point it a certain way, which means would move this way or that way or go forward or go backwards. And they were to follow their unit flag so that everybody on the battlefield could be orchestrated together to get done what needed done. Everybody understand that? So it was in a day before we had radios and things where we could communicate live. And a battlefield gets messy, it gets loud and different things. So that flag bearer would be the one in front of the army, and he would be the one that would be directing traffic from the orders from headquarters. A standard, by the way, being a standard bearer was a dangerous job. You were the one out front. You were walking point. A standard can also be something that is a consistent rule or a basis for measuring. How would you like to get a tape measure that's off? How would you like to measure something and somebody say, "Oh yeah, I need it about that long"? Is it going to fit? Don't know, but we'll find out. You know, measure twice, cut it three times. And it was still too short. But some of you didn't catch that. Y'all need to get faster, all right? In other words, a measure is a standardized weight or volume or measurement. It's what allows consistency. How would you like, ladies, to get a recipe that just said all the ingredients you needed, but it didn't tell you what quantities to put it in? You say, no way, right, because you have to have certain measurements. There has to be a standardization of measurement so that you have the same thing come out. Some of you follow the measurements and it still doesn't come out. Now, a standard then is a model or a type or a pattern. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, look at your Bible. God says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 22, "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles," watch this, "and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders." God is telling us here in Isaiah 49, verse 22, that he wants to raise his standard, and it's our job to rally behind the standard and go where it goes, but not just go by ourselves. He said, I want you to bring your sons and I want you to carry your daughters with me to the standard. Is that not what God said? Yes, it is. Now, we're not to define the standard how we want. We're not to change the standard. He didn't say lift up your standard. He said, behold, lift up my standard to the people. God doesn't say wait until you feel like God wants you to follow before you follow. I get a little weary. I almost said sick and tired, but I won't say that. I get a bit weary of Christians who say, well, I'm just going to wait till God convicts me of that before I do something. Now, I have an older brother. He's a little over 3.5 years older than I am. I'm not real smart, but when I watched my brother get whooped for something, I decided I wasn't going to do what he did and get whooped for it. Make sense? You know, it only takes watching your brother get whooped once or twice before you realize, I don't think I want to go through that. I may not have been real smart, but I was smarter than he was. Say why? Because I didn't get whoopings for what he did. Now, sometimes I got whoopings because I deserved them. It's not that I didn't get them, but I tried to avoid what he did when he got them. Why would you want to wait till God's got to whip you before you do something? I don't understand the mentality, I'll do it until I get in trouble. Then I'll do the other thing. I don't know about you, I don't like being in trouble. That's why when my wife's in the service, I don't talk about my mother-in-law. Y'all know me better than that. It doesn't matter if she's here or not. I'll even do it when my mother-in-law's sitting here. I love my mother-in-law. If it wasn't for my mother-in-law, I might not have my wife. I remember the day I told my wife I loved her the first time. She didn't say anything. She walked away. I had to go to work that night. I thought, oh man, did I blow that one? I found out later she called home and told her mom. And my mother-in-law said, or my future mother-in-law, said, Debbie, what'd you tell him? She said, I didn't say anything. She said, you better tell him you love him. You let him go without saying that? My mother-in-law is my greatest friend, let me tell you. I did get it the next day, though, amen? Now, wait a minute. I thank God for my mother-in-law. I really do. But can I tell you something? I don't want to get in trouble for something I specifically know God says I should not do. God says he sets the standard and we're to go to it. He said, I'll raise the flag and you rally behind it. on the battlefield, a soldier who did not look at the standard, or who looked at the standard and said, I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do, is a soldier that was going to be in a lot of trouble one way or the other. He may get left behind and taken over by the enemy, where he's going to run and hide in fear. And then he's going to face the court-martial afterwards. I hold in my hand a copy of God's standard.
Yes, sir.
The standard is the word of God. God said, here's my standard, hold it high, and let the people come to it. Now hang on, I'm about to make somebody mad if I'm successful. God didn't say, rewrite it and put my name to it. God didn't say, change it to make it to where people like it better. God said, I lift up my standard to the people and they're to rally behind it, not make it say what they want it to say. We're not to let society dictate what God says. I'm not to let culture decide what God says. I'm not to let modern definitions of words decide what God said. I'm a little weary of TV commercials that I'm being told about where the alphabet soup crowd, the sodomites, well, if Jesus were here, he would love this too. I hate to tell you something. God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, that mess. They failed to tell you that story. They get mad at me for calling them sodomites. Everybody doing okay? You say, preacher, why do you use that word? Because it's biblical. It's what God called them. Drag me into court. Go for it. You'll have to drag God into court. And I guarantee he wins. Now hang on for a second here. Not only did God say raise the standard and say, okay, there's the standard, but he said, I want you to bring your sons and your daughters to it. We are not to bring God's word to man. We're to hold it up and bring man to it. We're not supposed to change because society changes. We're not supposed to do things because, well, more people might accept it. No, God said, lift up my standard and bring your sons and your daughters and follow me. I'm here today as your preacher, and I'm supposed to hold high the standard of God. I'm not to preach my opinion or my philosophy. I'm to preach the word of God. I am not to preach man's philosophies. I am not to preach anything but the truth of God's standard, which is the word of God. Amen. I'm not to tell you what I want the way you want. I'm to preach the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I'll answer to God one day for the truth I preach to you. There are churches that are taking the blood out of their songbooks and out of their Bibles so they don't have to preach a bloody religion. Well, I hate to tell you something, but God says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, I'm not going to take the blood out because God didn't take it out. Just because Dr. Fatbottom thinks he knows more than God doesn't mean I have to follow Dr. Fatso. I've met a bunch of theologians. They need cut down and burned. Well, they have letters associated with their name. PhD, yeah, pretty heavy date. Post hole digger. DDT. BVD. I don't care what letters are after their name. It doesn't mean that they are preaching or knowing the word of God. I am to obey and hold high what the God of the universe wrote in his book without my opinion.
Amen.
There it is. Follow it. There's the standard. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. There it is. There it is. In the olden days, before modern times, the soldiers were in battle. The standard bearer was at the front. The army was being pressed down. The commanding general looked at the standard bearer and said, "We need to make a move. We've got to go forward." He said, "Son, I know it's going to be hard, but I need you to move, and I want you to go this direction and go this far so that the men will rally and go behind you. We've got to push the enemy back." That young man took that standard and he dodged the enemy soldiers and got to where he was supposed to be. While he was moving forward, some of the soldiers were hollering, "Bring the standard back to the men. We can't go forward. Bring him back." And the general stood and he said, "No. Bring the men up to the standard." I'm tired of preachers who say, "Let's bring the standard back to the men." I say to you, come to the standard. The standard of the Word of God does not change. I want you to listen to me today. I want you to think in your own heart, your own mind. Am I asking God to bring the standard to me? Or am I going to go to it? Do I need it watered down because I'm too afraid? Or will I rally and go behind it? I never thought I'd live long enough to say this. I'm a grizzled old veteran. I've been doing battle for a long time. Can I tell you something? I've been through enough battles. Come on, follow the standard. It's okay. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. General George S. Patton in World War II used to rally his troops. He would look before a great battle and he'd say, "Don't you all worry." He said, "Less than 2% of you are going to die." By the way, it was a right number. Now, he was taking the number of the entire army, not just his unit. But if you look at the numbers, less than 2% of any army ever died in any war. He said, and that's how he instilled courage into his soldiers. You say, "Well, that's a little misleading." No wonder General Patton won so many battles. Why do you think Rommel and Hitler were afraid of George Patton? George Patton said, "When under fire, move forward. Grab him in the nose and kick him in the pants." He knew that enemy soldiers are trained that when you start your initial volleys, people will stop and step back to get away from the bullets, and they start increasing the distance that they're firing to better their chances of hitting you. He said, "If you move forward, they'll shoot over your head. Don't worry about it. Keep moving forward." Maybe we ought to get a little George Patton in us and move forward. Let's follow the standard. Number one, God wants us to raise his standard, not ours. Look at Isaiah 49:22 again. "Thus saith the Lord God." It didn't say, "Thus saith Isaiah." Not, "Thus saith the preacher." "Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people." May I say something here? Let me be so bold. I think The God who created everything is quite capable of saying what he means, don't you? Don't you think the God that spoke everything into existence that is, and God said, let there be light, and there was light? Don't you think the God that said, separate the waters from the land, and so that we could have land and water? Don't you think the God that spoke those words can put down in his book what he wants to say?
Amen.
Why do we think we know more than God? Why do we think that we can redefine what God said? And by the way, let's quit saying God said something he didn't say. God's quite capable of saying what he wants without our spin on it.
Well, preacher, I heard you preach this and I just don't see it that way. Don't care how you saw it. This is what God said.
Amen.
Just because you need glasses doesn't mean it changed the words. Just because you got to hold it out here, oh, I don't need glasses. No, you need a longer arm. Hate to tell you, when you're doing that, you need to get your eyes fixed. Everybody doing all right? Okay, that one just treated a coon. Man's sinful selfishness and desire to be his own God causes him to decide that he wants to decide what God said. Genesis chapter 3. When man sinned, God said, devil said to man, you could be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself. You won't need God. You could be your own God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Isn't it amazing how much man worships knowledge? And right and wrong is now based on what we think, not a standard. Why do you think America started with a constitution? Actually, we didn't start with it till 1787, but why do you think we came up with it? So that we could be a people of rules, so that we could become a greater nation. When we step outside the rules of the constitution, when the vice president will get up and dismiss life and just say liberty and the pursuit of happiness because she's speaking for abortion, she needs to be strung up and called a treasoner.
Amen.
She raised her hand to an oath stating she would uphold the Constitution of the United States of America.
Amen.
Hello? God wrote it before there ever was a man.
That's right.
Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Guess what? Before there ever was a man, the standard was set.
Right.
And God said, you broke the law, you pay the price. Well, I don't see how a loving God could send anybody to hell. He doesn't. Man chose it by sinning. Hell was created, Matthew chapter 7, for the devil and his angels. Who is it that caused man to be tempted with sin and wrong? Was the devil. The punishment had been decided before there ever was a man. When man sinned, he chose the same punishment Satan chose. So God has to, by his justice, allow man to go to hell. But Jesus came and paid the price for man so that man did not have to go to hell. Did you ever notice Jesus didn't come and pay the price for the devil and his angels? God loved man so much that he made salvation available for us. It's not a matter of God sending anybody to hell. It's a matter of man choosing to obey God rather than himself. God does not want us to change his words, no matter how sinful or sinless we think we are. I'm not supposed to preach my philosophy to get a bigger crowd. Everybody doing okay? I'm not supposed to bring famous people here who talk about Jesus as these wonderful Christians. I'm for famous people getting saved. Don't get me wrong. I won't go too far with this. My dad was at a meeting yesterday in Florida with five former professional athletes at a prayer breakfast. I'm thankful for that. But wait a minute. They weren't so good at Christians because they didn't go to church on Sunday. They played sports. One of them, my dad told me, said he got saved in 1978. And when he did, 20% of his language had to change. And I'm thankful for the testimony that these men have, but you give me a little Will that gets saved when he's 5 years old and goes to church and school and gets a Bible, I'll take that over any sports hero any day. Hate to disappoint you. You see, there are some people that don't like a church like this or a preacher like me. Look at verse number 20. Isaiah 49 verse 20. The children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give me a place that I may dwell. Oh, preacher, we can't do that. This is too hard. Our kids, what are our kids are going to have? It's too strict for our kids. Look what the world has with no strictness. I hate to tell you something. Kids need rules. They need consequences for not following rules. They need the blessing of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. That's what turns you into a wise person. Matter of fact, God says a wise person will hear the reproof. Didn't say that they'll not make any mistakes. They're not God, neither are you. They're going to get in trouble. Yeah. All three of my kids, I prayed every day that God would help them get caught for the wrong they did. And they got caught a lot. Not all the time, but they got caught a lot. Preacher, why'd you do that? Because if they could fix it when they were young, the older they got, the less problems we would have. I'm going to tell you something. I know this is true. I've had families come to this church and they say, "Preacher, you preach too hard. We don't want our kids growing up in something where they hear something that straight." Well, I hate to tell you something. I ain't changing because you don't like it. I'm supposed to proclaim his standard, not mine, not yours. I'll set his standard, not mine. The day I stand behind this pulpit and say, this Bible's not right, and I've been doing wrong, and we need to go another direction, do me a favor, leave this church. You don't hear many preachers say that, do you? They want your money more than they want your right with God. God doesn't say change it because it's too hard. Oh, preacher, being a Christian is just too hard. Oh, God bless you. Come here, let me burp you. I ain't changing your diaper. May I say something? You can't follow the standard if you don't know what the standard is. That's why you need to read the Bible. I believe every Christian ought to read their Bible. I don't believe the only time you get Bible ought to be when you come to church. But I believe you ought to read it. God also says in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake assembling of ourselves together as a man or some is. Think you ought to be at church to hear it preached and taught. Think you ought to be in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church as often as you can. I know some of your work schedules and sickness, and I get that, and I'm not condemning anybody. But let me tell you this, I think we ought to be here every chance we get. Say why? Because that was the standard God set. He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. He didn't even say, because there's sickness going on, that we go to cyber church or whatever they call that now. Gag. don't be looking for me on TV anytime soon. They wouldn't publish my sermons. Matter of fact, I think we just ought to join the church and be a part of it and get involved in it. Let's set the standard. Let's follow the standard. So it's God's standard, not our standard. Realize I'm not preaching what I said. I'm just a delivery boy. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at the mailman because he brings your bills. Everybody doing all right? He didn't spend the money, you did. Why should you get mad at the mailman? Then don't get mad at the preacher for telling you that's what the standard said. Man, preacher, that's good stuff. Amen. Second of all, God's standard is to all people. God's standard is to all people. Turn to Isaiah 49:22. We're right there. Behold, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hands to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. He said, look, it's not just for the Jew, it's for everybody. Turn to Isaiah chapter 62, just a few pages over. Isaiah chapter 62, verse number 10. The Bible says, are you there? Hurry. If not, just look at the page you're on and look intelligently. You'll be okay. Isaiah 62, verse number 10. Go through to the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Did you notice it wasn't to any one particular group? Turn to Jeremiah, just a few more pages over. Right after the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, look at verse number 6. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and great destruction. He's talking about Zion, which is to the Jews. He said, set it up. But then you go to Jeremiah chapter 50. Same book, a few more pages over. Jeremiah chapter 50, look at verse number 2. Declare ye among the nations, plural, and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols is confounded, her images are broken in pieces. God said, publish it among the nations. Isaiah 51, verse 27. Set ye up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdom of Ararat, Mini, and that other place, Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up and as rough caterpillars. God says, amongst the nations. Can I tell you something? That word is true in all languages.
Amen.
It's not just to us. It's to all people. We are to proclaim the truth to all people. By the way, it's to every race.
Amen.
Did you know that everybody is the same on the inside?
Amen.
Red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in His sight. I'm colorblind. I don't care what color your skin is. I really don't. I'm not going to change the truth of the Word of God based on what crowd I'm preaching to.
Amen.
I hear people sometimes will say, preacher, I have Catholic friends, and how should I give the gospel to them? First of all, they're sinners. Second of all, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. Third of all, Jesus came and paid that sin debt. Fourth of all, if they'll receive it by grace through faith, they can get saved.
Amen.
Well, what about a Mormon? Jesus came to pay their sin debt. I don't change it for anybody. I'm not supposed to change it based on what they know. I'm supposed to lift the standard and bring them to it.
Amen.
I'm not to bring the standard back to them. I'm to bring them up to the standard.
Amen.
Say, preacher, you just make it so simple all the time. I'm just holding the standard saying, follow.
Right.
Hold the standard high. Rouse then, soldiers. Rally behind the banner. That's what God says we should do. It's the same for every person. Did you know God didn't change it for the Jew or the Gentile? That's why in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, that thou shalt turn there. I want to show you. I want you to see it. Romans chapter 10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth, verse number 9, the Lord Jesus, and believe thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Watch this. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God said, it's for everybody.
Amen.
A Jew gets saved the same way a Gentile does. Same way a pagan does. My wife was out soul winning yesterday and they ran into a Wiccan witch. And she said, man, that person was nasty. I said, well, if you knew that hell was your destination, I think I would be too. Can I tell you something? A Wiccan witch gets saved the same way. I've won them. That's not easy. But they got to get saved the same way somebody who really believes there is a God but doesn't know how to get it does. Boy, that's good stuff. It's, by the way, it's supposed to be preached the same way all the time. Well, we all have the same God. We just call him by different names. Folks, that's a lie out of hell itself. Buddha, Muhammad, any other God you want to throw in there, that's not the same as God. I hate to tell you something, Allah is not my God. Isn't it amazing they only want to use our God's name in curse words though? I'm getting pretty bold these days. When people start cursing my God, I walk up to them and say, how about you say Allah that instead of my God that? You want to use that word with my God? How about you use it with somebody else's God? Quit cursing my God. How about you curse somebody else's? Well, that might offend somebody. You offended me. You offended God. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Please don't get mad at me for these next statements. We're not to water it down for the kids. We're to bring it up, the kids up to it. We're not, I don't suggest you do it, but if you went back to junior church, you'll find out Brother Joe doesn't water it down for the kids. Trust me. He's rougher than I am sometimes. Say, why? Gotta be. He's trying to get them ready for church. The boys want to be ushers, but they got to wear a shirt and tie. The girls want to do things. They have to dress a certain way. Why? Because he's training them for church. I love it. I love it. Say, preacher, that sounds a little rough. I didn't say junior church. It was open to everybody, but if they're going to serve, they're going to step up. Because as you start serving, we ought to step up to do what God wants. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. This is where you're going to get mad. They don't need a different Bible. They need the old black book. They don't need the cartoon character Bible, the Chick Tracks, or the Precious Moments Bible. They need the Word of God.
Amen.
I said it. Well, they're kids. They need it brought down to their language. No, they need brought up to the standard. We don't need to change it for the child.
Amen.
If you noticed, I gave Will an old black King James Bible. Say why? Because he needs the Word of God. It doesn't need to be watered down.
Amen.
He doesn't need the Precious Moments Bible. He doesn't need the cartoon Bible or the MICKEYMOUSE version. It comes in all different colors these days. By the way, I believe missionaries ought to preach the same thing I preach. I thank God we support missionaries who preach and teach the right Bible, the right way, seeing people get saved. I read a missionary letter just a couple weeks ago from Brother Kevin Wynn down in Mexico City. Over 116,000 people saved in 1 month. Baptized over 20,000 people in 1 month. Oh, they're in a city of over 30 million people. I understand that. There's 15 times as many people in their city as is in the whole state of West Virginia. It's the largest city in the world. But he's not letting any grass grow under his feet. In his letter, he stated, he said, I'm preaching an average of 15 times a week. Thank God. That's the kind of missionary we ought to support. Not the ones that are going to go over there and, we're going to meld with the culture and try to infiltrate the culture with the Bible. No, just go tell them you're a Christian. Here's the Bible. Here's what you need. Everybody doing all right? Okay, number three, and I'll hurry up. We're to bring the people up to the standard. We're not supposed to whine and complain and be bitter about the standard. Everybody look at me for a second here. You may not like what I say, but I just backed it with the Word of God. Don't get mad at me. Don't complain to me. I'm just delivering the message. I don't blame America's problems on the White House. I blame it on the church house. When men of God failed to be men of God, decided to cowtail to get a crowd or to get a bigger offering, ouch. They wanted popularity versus being right with God. They wanted a bigger building and fancier buildings and fancier facilities. Well, I don't care if you're preaching in a cathedral or an outhouse. The message shouldn't change. Brother Barnes, when we were building this building, you and I came out here. We were driving to go soul winning one day, and there was somebody on a Saturday morning working on the foundation right outside where my window is in my office, sitting on a 5-gallon bucket doing concrete work. Walked up, told him who I was. We talked for a moment. I looked at that man. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, nope. I took that very New Testament right there, opened it up, showed him what the scripture said. Watch that man sitting on a 5-gallon bucket bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Right back about where Brother Ron's at, where the PA booth is. One of the builders was here. One of the senior builders was here. Walked through the building with him, talked for a while, stood right there, gave him the gospel, and watched him bow his head with his hand on the 2x4s that were standing there, bowed his head and trusted Christ as a Savior. We didn't change it because they were builders. Amen. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to do right because it's right and because God said it, not because it's popular. I hate to tell you something. That's not a bad thing. Contrary to what the world wants you to think, oh, you're to believe in a fairy tale. Well, that fairy tale is pretty right. Amazing how it takes science 2,000 years to catch up to it. Can I tell you something? God says we're to lead them by the hand. When's the last time, well, I'm afraid to invite anybody to church, preacher. You might say something. No, I'm not might. I'm going to. Ain't no might so about it. It will be so. I'll try to not make it quite so bad, but God says we're to lead them by the hand. Matter of fact, he said the daughters were to put on our shoulders and carry them in. When's the last time you carried somebody to church? You brought them by the hand to church. I'm for leaving gospel tracts. I'm for leaving them everywhere. Good night. Go to Sheets. You'll get tackled by Kathy. She's going to put them on every pump every time she's there. I can't tell you how many times I pull up to a gas pump at Sheets down the road here and people are reading the gospel tract and see my picture and see me next to them. Yep, that's me. I didn't do it, but yep, that's me. I know who did it. I can give you your address, but I'm not going to. Wait a minute. I'm for that, but when's the last time you invited somebody and carried them by the hand? Why don't you come with me? Boy, that's good stuff. God didn't say change it so that they might like it more. Oh, years ago, Mrs. Barnes was, we were in the old IRS building down the road, and a guy came to the building, wanted to see it. I walked him through. I was standing out in the foyer area, and he said, boy, you got an opportunity here. He said, I think you ought to have a big rock band in here and have a big dance and bring all the young people. You could really grow your crowd. I said, no, I couldn't. He said, well, yeah, you got plenty of space for it. I said, I might have space for it, but I'm not changing the word of God just to get a big crowd. I said, manure can get a big crowd of flies. He didn't stay very long. Well, you'd have an opportunity to preach to them all. I said, how are you going to preach to them all after they've been dancing and jigging and jiving everywhere and listening to bad music, and you want me to stand and preach after that mess? I said, that ain't happening. I said, if you heard me preach, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying right now. And he walked out very quickly. By the way, isn't this what soul winning is all about? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to take the standard and bring men to the standard. We're supposed to lead them by the hand, carry them on our shoulders. By the way, that's what Bible preaching is all about. That's what Sunday school is all about, bringing people up to the standard.
Amen.
I'll finish. God raised his standard 2,000 years ago on a hill called Golgotha, Calvary. John chapter 3 talked about as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Salvation is not by our works. Salvation is not by some tradition. It's not by how good we are, and hopefully the good outweighs the bad. God says salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done. We are saved by his righteousness, not ours. It's not joining a church. It's not being baptized. Are those good things to do? Yes, after you get saved. But they don't get you to heaven. Well, I keep all the Ten Commandments. Good, that makes you a good citizen. Ten Commandments is civil law, not spiritual law. Has nothing to do with going to heaven. Never did, never will. Makes you a good citizen. Can I tell you something? God raised the standard on Calvary's hill one day. He gave us the perfect Lamb of God. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and paid our sin debt for us. He lifted the standard. All we must do then is call upon him and what he did. Let him wash our sin away, and then we raise ourselves to the standard. Let me ask you a question. This is a harsh question. Are you going to waste what Jesus did for you? Well, I got saved. I'm glad you did. But what are you going to do with it? I'm not the judge. I'm just asking the question. Are we going to let the rest of the world die and go to hell because, well, I got it. It's all I need. Are we going to raise the standard and march to it? Follow the standard. God says in Isaiah 49:22, that I will raise my standard to the people. And we're to bring our sons, our daughters to that standard. We're to go out and bring people up to the standard. We're not to take the standard down to where they are. Let's bring culture up to the standard. Let's not bring the standard down to their culture. We're not to change the music because it's more popular. We're not to change the Bible because there's another one that seems to be a little bit more readable. Well, if a little first grader can read it and understand it, I think a big adult should. I believe we ought to obey the standard. I just happen to believe what God said is more important than what I think. I think what God says is more important than what any person thinks. And he said, thus saith the Lord, I will set up my standard. It's not a matter of what you believe. What does God say? People get mad at me when they, well, preacher, I really feel like the Lord wants me to do that. Okay, show me in the book. If it's not in there, don't do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Will you come up to the standard? Will you rally behind the standard of the Word of God? Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure. I know for sure I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. I'm not going to call you out. I won't call your name. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Would you say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, 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 many hands. Scores, you may put them down. If you've never been saved, you come today, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. If you've been saved and never obeyed the Lord with baptism, we could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join this church, we'd love to have you join the membership of this church. You come. We'll take your name. You'll be joined up today. No classes, nothing. Just a matter of joining and then rallying behind the standard.